Music and Booze with Mo is co-produced and distributed by Nitty Grits, the media division of the National Food and Beverage Foundation, changing the world one taste at a time. Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there is a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by The Mermaid, a cozy neighborhood bar with an aquatic flair in the Little Tokyo area of downtown LA. Open 7 days a week, featuring tropical cocktails and snacks, The Mermaid also has a daily happy hour from 5 to 8 p.m. Follow The Mermaid on Instagram at TheMermaidLA to hear about upcoming events and check them out at TheMermaidLA.com. Head to 428 East 2nd Street, Los Angeles, for a drink.
Cuando las serpientes evolucionaron más rápido que muchos peces. Noten la diferencia entre una serpiente venenosa y otra que no lo es por las marcas que deja.
1970. Nací un día de junio del año 77, planeta Mercurio y el año de la serpiente. Signo patente tatuado y en mi frente que en el vientre de mi madre marcaba el paso siguiente.
When this podcast airs, it will be winter time in half of the world, so I thought it would be fun to play you something from Miami. We're going to talk with Fraser Hamilton of the legendary bar and restaurant Sweet Liberty in Miami, Florida. He's going to talk to us about things like why he's an expert at scotch, kind of kidding there, and also, creating something really amazing like a sweet potato painkiller, and also which songs he likes to play to get the dance floor to interact with them. Maybe not just dancing, maybe they're shouting, maybe it's making the whole party go. So sit down and have fun with us. We're speaking with Fraser Hamilton of Sweet Liberty, and oh, how I do wish I was in Miami right now. Although, it's lovely to talk with you, and little did I know that you're Scottish.
I am indeed,
which
yes.
Which is my favorite accent in the whole world.
Oh, well, thanks so much.
My fiancé is going to be really upset when he hears this, because he's like, you didn't want to leave
well,
him.
Well, tell
you?
Him I can teach him.
Okay.
If he likes.
Yeah, he would love sure. to do that, because
we can do
his family's Irish,
oh, okay.
So he can do Irish.
I can do Irish as well. That's good. They're more like,
save that
oh, fiddly-dee potatoes. Isn't it great? Everything's lovely. I do that for my Irish friends quite a lot.
I think they love it, really.
They say they don't, but I think they do.
Well, I need you to tell me who you are and where you work. That's
all right,
how we start these things.
Oh, for sure. So Fraser Hamilton, mm-hmm. and I am the bar manager, lead bar at Sweet Liberty in Miami Beach.
You know, we can't talk about Sweet Liberty without the specter of John Lermare.
Yeah, it's difficult for me to get through any day without talking or thinking about John.
Right.
I mean, it's one of these things where he's just one of my absolute dearest and closest friends that we were spending 65, 70 hours a week together working. And it was one of those relationships of like, we could be in the middle of an actual yelling match about something. And it's normally me that gets upset. He didn't get upset. And I would be like, this is ridiculous. I can't believe this is going on. And he'd be like, hey, do you want to go for dinner? And I'd be like, yes! Where do you want to go? Let's go now. It was like a really interesting and a great mentor and a great, so wonderful human being.
And he has his own day.
He has his own day. He has
Miami
an official
now.
Day. The longest day of the year on June 21st.
Yeah.
Every year in Miami Beach is John Lemire Day.
So I started this podcast. It's almost going to be 2 years.
Right.
Come fall. And for a year of that, John would come to Los Angeles, I'd wind up in Miami. We were always trying to coordinate to do the podcast.
Yeah.
And I'd met him through some mutual friends.
And of course, he's the most gracious, this, but he's also like running around like a crazy person and totally busy, yeah, as I am too. So it just, it would never happen. We kept trying, and then something would happen. We wouldn't be able to do it. And it became a running joke between, yeah, the two of us. He's bartending somewhere in Los Angeles, and I would show up with this little machine that you're seeing right now. I'm like, how about now? How about now? And he'd just be like, okay, Mo, just come back here. You sling this drink, you do this, and then we'll just talk what we're doing.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I was like, oh, it's too noisy. I'm just going to skip it. You know, so we had a lot of fun with that. So we finally had nailed down a time. I was out in Miami last June.
Right.
And was with a friend of mine who is the bar manager of Tonka Hut, Scotty Shooter from Dirty Dick.
No, Scotty,
he was out there.
Well, yeah.
Stuart from Trailer Happiness was out.
Yep.
We were all at the bar. I think Chris, who works behind the bar. Were you there that night too?
Was that the night?
It was the night.
Oh, yeah. Well, we all had dinner together.
We were all, yeah. So afterwards, I went to the bar. So we might have.
Okay, yeah, because I had dinner with Stu and Andrea then, and Scotty and John. And
that whole night.
Yeah.
We might have.
And the thing was, like, I kept telling people, because there was all this kind of like, oh, he'd gone out and gone crazy. I was like, no.
No.
There were like eight of us out for dinner. We had about two bottles of wine.
Yeah.
And then, like, I left and went to meet my uncle. Mm-hmm. And they went back to the bar and had a daiquiri and went to bed.
Yeah. No, that's about it. We were there till four, I think.
Yeah.
And he was just kind of like smiling and cheerful and all of this. And I remember looking at him. And then the next day I came for my interview.
Right.
But he wasn't there. And then I found out later why he wasn't there.
Yeah.
And I remember telling Scotty, I'm like, you know what? If I didn't wake up the next day, I'm glad that everyone's memories of me who saw me were, I was looking around, his hands were in his pockets. He was like, yeah, this is my joint, man. This,
yeah,
is,
yeah,
my joint. So you're there. How long were you, what is your history?
So my history in, back home, I worked in Glasgow, Edinburgh, been in New York, Martha's Vineyard for a while, which was wonderful. But Miami, I've been here the last 10 and a half years.
Wow.
Okay. Almost 11 years, yeah. So, yeah, I moved here. We just voted Obama, and
it was all
going fabulously.
Everything was
well.
Beautiful.
I feel like I got catfished a little bit. You know, it was like that, like, really?
And then you went to Florida.
Yeah, yeah. But no, so, I mean, I spent the first year I worked with, I worked at Danny DeVito's restaurant, DeVito, which was, I thought, a celebrity restaurant that sounds like a lot of fun. Can go and be the lead bar there. It wasn't as much fun as I thought.
Did you come to the States to work in hospitality still? Because you were,
yeah,
doing,
yeah, well,
that?
I actually came over originally to do some training for Diageo in,
oh,
New York.
Wow, okay.
So I came over to train some New York bartenders there, mm-hmm, and then I ended up staying. I went to Martha's Vineyard, and I spent a couple of months in the summer there,
yeah,
which was just an amazing time.
It must have been really beautiful.
What a wonderful place it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could have just stayed there. I basically stopped wearing shoes. It was just like, no, I refuse to wear shoes and socks now. I live in Martha's Vineyard, and if you don't like it, then I just won't come in your place. So it's, yeah, no, it was great. But I mean, down here, I mean, essentially I was chasing around John for a while to work, mm-hmm, with him. For, so I ended up... I went from DeVito to two of the world's worst jobs, which we don't need to talk about. But just
sometimes,
like,
those jobs take you to your best jobs.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It was one of those kind of like, oh God, this is going so badly.
That's,
and then
happened,
ended up,
to me. Mm-hmm.
And then ended up joining up with the Mercadito Group and working with Tad Carducci.
Oh, and that's...
And Paul Tanguay.
Tad Carducci, our mutual friend.
Absolutely,
he was,
yeah,
my first industry friend.
For sure.
Yeah.
And they were great and showed a little faith. I ended up being a head bartender for them and a bar, mm-hmm, manager for them. And I moved on from there to work with John at Blackbird Ordinary. Mm-hmm. And
I love
was
Blackbird Ordinary.
Oh, me too.
I love, so rock and roll too.
It's so much fun, and it's, yeah, become its own, it's had this evolution over the years.
Yeah.
It's become much more of a party bar than it was when we first,
yes,
opened.
Yes, I remember going there and seeing the Bowie menu,
right,
years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I went back last year, Jillian.
Oh, that's the board.
It was a proper menu at the time.
Right, okay.
I remember it was all Bowie-inspired drinks.
Okay.
And with Bowie names. And then when I was back, I think last year, probably on that same trip, talking with Jillian, who was there, and
yeah,
I was,
yeah,
with the party. And I remember going back, and I was like, oh, it's way more of a club now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all the club kept, but still.
Well, no, but I mean, an interesting thing about the place was when it first opened, one of the great things that kept all the energy was, like, every time you went, there was something new.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
even for those of us who worked there, every week there would be a new wall mural, or they would have built a stage outside, or suddenly, yeah, there's, like, I mean, initially it was gravel out back and,
yeah,
like, this horrible broken wall.
Yeah.
And it felt like a bit of a prison exercise yard. And then,
well, I mean,
but it was, like, basically where to go.
Has that warehouse kind of feel.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, that's what it used to be. It used to be a boat building warehouse. So they used to build boats in there, which is why there's the dip out the door to get the trailers
down.
That
makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense.
So it is like, I mean, it is a very basic building, but all credit to Dan Bickowitz for his style and panache and building something up from the ground. And he's got a great eye for details and a great, a great understanding of people and what people are wanting. Mm-hmm. And I think what happened was we let people fill in the blanks and then we sort of supported that with what's going on. And now you go there and it's just this whole new thing. Like, right. It's barely recognizable from when I was there.
Yeah. So you were there, you're at Blackbird, and then you went to...
Yeah, so I was there to work with John and he literally just was like, oh, you've got this, right? Do you want to be the bar manager? Because I'm off. And I was like, but I came to work with you though, John. And he was like, oh, yeah, well, I mean, we'll still do that, but just like, you've got this. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, so that was about 3.5 years there, which was just an amazing time, during which, I mean, I still worked with John on and off for trainings and events. He was opening up the region and doing a bunch of other things. I spent a year at Beaker and Grey.
That place is wonderful too.
So that was really nice getting to work with Ben. Ben is the other part. He's the part that I'm missing in my skills. He's incredibly organized. He's wonderful at costing things out and just being on point all the time. Me, I'm much more of I'm good with ideas and sometimes following through isn't my strong suit, my dad would say. I've gotten better over the years, to be fair. But working with Ben was a real joy, and getting to build a bar from the ground up and a program from the ground up was great. And then from there, the plan was always to go to Sweet Liberty, but I had to wait a year because there's a non-compete between Blackbird and Sweet Liberty.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I ended up at Beaker and Grey, which was not a chore at all, and then straight over to Sweet Liberty,
which was two and a half years
of
Valhalla.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just like, it's where everybody wants to be, never mind where I wanted to be. And to get a chance to work with John day in, day out and see that kind of inspiration all the time. I mean, he's just one of those guys who like says things that you're like, what are you talking about? You want to put a booth behind the bar?
I've sat in that booth behind the bar. Yes, right. I walked in there and I was like, can I be the special one tonight?
For sure.
I had two friends who'd never been there before. Yeah. And so they sat us back there and my two friends had just gotten married. So it was kind of fun for them. It's all right. You're taking off your mint green. It's not raining inside. You don't need that right now.
For sure.
But they had just gotten married, so it was really fun for them to get to sit in that spot. And we told them, and everyone was, I mean, hospitality there is off the chart. Everyone is so kind and so friendly. So it was just wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. As I say, I mean, it's one of those things where when you heard the idea, you were like, it doesn't sound right. And then you see it in practice, and you're like, it's genius. This is amazing. Because you're right. Everybody gets there, and they're like, how do I get to sit back there? And you're like, you just ask nicely make a reservation or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and as long as we call it Disneyland rules, so it's hands and feet inside the cart at all times. Mm-hmm. So as long as you can behave yourself back there, we're happy to host you all night. And you're right, it's all about hospitality.
Yeah.
Like, I gave up on trying to impress people with like fancy drinks and cocktail knowledge and trying to school people and this and that and the next thing. And I realized how boring it was.
Yeah.
And it was like, I just want people to have fun. Like, if you want to know about things, like we've got things we can share with you. But like, to be honest, I just want you to have fun. Like, I just want to be like cracking wise and, you know, giving you a hard time. And
part of me having fun is I will be that person that asks you. I like the fancy cocktails.
Oh, well, not to say we can't do that.
Yes, no, absolutely. So, thank you, because like my sister wouldn't care. She'd be ordering a beer, which is perfectly fine, right? She'd go get her beer. But I'll be like, ooh, what mezcal do you have back there? Oh, I like that. Ooh,
oh, absolutely.
Then you can teach me something.
Well, that's a great thing about the bar table as well, because you can bring over half a dozen bottles, do a little, take people through the difference between single village mezcals and different types of mezcal.
See, you can school someone in a fun way.
Absolutely.
With the booze, right?
Yeah.
So when did you start having the opportunity to create your own cocktails? I mean, at any bar you went to, did you kind of hit that point right away where they knew, oh, he kind of knows what he's doing here? Do you have fun with that?
I think there's a...
Some people like to follow a basic formula. Some people like to
I'm a find and replace person.
Okay.
Right? So it's like very
your tweaker?
I love this drink. I'm going to take it.
That sounds bad for Miami. You can't say tweaker.
Yeah.
And
definitely
Glasgow,
a twerker,
actually.
Though, to be fair.
Oh, hey. And, that's appropriate for Miami, as we know.
But yeah, I'm certainly like, I love this cocktail. I'm going to take this out and add this in. Or I just want to change this ingredient and make it what I want. So things like, I love our gin gimlet. at the bar, which is we make a clarified lime cordial, and then we have a little tincture that we add, which is Ray and Nephew with a bunch of bacon spices and mustard
bacon
seed
spices
and coriander seed, all kinds of things.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a, I mean, it's a lime cordial. Yeah. I think some people might call it closer to Falernum, but it's definitely a lime cordial. And but it's full of like flavor, mustard seed, coriander seed, cinnamon, nutmeg, clove, allspice.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
but it's
cool.
but
Ray
and Nephew,
gin, so
that Ray and Nephew soaks it right up, and you add it to the clarified lime, some sugar, and mix that with Tanqueray 10.
Yeah,
which is just the king of gins
up.
For
yeah.
something like that.
Mm-hmm.
and I love that. The same with like the sweet potato painkiller. So I used to love it, like when John had nothing to say about a cocktail, we were like, nailed it. That's it. Yes. And I remember showing him the sweet potato painkiller, and he was like...
And this was your creation.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was like, that's all right. That's good. And I was like, yes, take it. You know, because there's really nothing better than that. Like having the approval of somebody who makes such fabulous cocktails, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. Like even just our twist on a pina colada is divine. Like, I mean, I have no problem telling people I think it's the best pina colada in the world because I had nothing to do with it. You know, it was all John. I think Michaela might have had a touch on it as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's with like, you know, fresh grated Jamaican coffee beans, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. House made coconut mix and our own little rum blend. It's
just very happy. So you obviously love the hospitality. You want everyone to have a good time, and Sweet Liberty is a place where you can have a good time.
For sure.
In fact, I'm seeing on your arm, it's on the back of the wall, Pursue Happiness.
Oh yeah, so I had the tattoo done, and I have the...
I know, a lot of folks did this a couple days after.
Yeah, so I have the J and the L that I put in as well for...
Oh, I was thinking it was extra curly. That's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's... I'm taking a picture of that before we part
Absolutely.
Ways.
Absolutely, no problems. I never really embraced the idea of getting a tattoo, and at that point it just felt so natural to me.
You knew, you just know.
Yeah.
You just know.
It's funny because we have people who come in and they're like, you must really love this bar. Like... And you're like, oh, I know, it sort of looks pathetic on the surface that I've got like our tagline on my arm, but it's actually, it goes a little bit deeper
it
than
goes
that.
Further, it goes
yeah,
further.
Yeah.
So then, since this is music and booze,
yep.
we have to talk about music as well.
For sure.
Now, I can't remember if you play music or you just are love.
I was a pretend
strong...
DJ for ages. So something John and I shared in common was we sort of started out just wanting to be part of the party.
Yeah.
You know, so I remember John telling me, like, his whole thing was that he was, like, DJing reggae nights, putting on reggae nights all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually he was like, do you know what? I'm actually not that good at DJ. I've got good records, but I'm not that good. I was like, I'm exactly the same. I've got really good records, but I'm not that good at DJ. And it's like, so you just want to be part of the party. So you move over behind the bar.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, there's nothing better than, you know, singing along with songs. We were at that Bacardi Daiquiri Day. Yesterday.
Yes.
And I was there with a Puerto Rican girl and a guy from Thailand. We're all just like banging on tins along with the music. No, I love all that. So it's a good time.
So you did try DJing and you just... Why did you think you weren't a good DJ?
Well, because I've got friends who are really good DJs.
But is this beat matching kind of DJs?
I mean, either or. Like,
okay.
I like... I mean, I still do the playlist for the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Well... I do some of the playlists. Someone will murder me if they hear me say that. Because Justin and John certainly did a lot of them as well.
Yes, because John and I talked briefly about his music program.
Yeah.
He was part of the thing. And the thing is I've talked with other people about this. I DJed as well.
Right.
But I DJed on radio.
Okay.
You know, and right now I'm losing my voice because we've had a lot of lime over the last couple of days. It starts
to
wear through. But
it gives you that nice warrior's voice, though.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Totally. I have a little Patti Smythe thing going on. But I have good radio voice, you know.
Yeah.
However, I did do radio, but I also would DJ out in clubs and bars.
Okay.
But I wasn't beat matching. I wasn't doing that really hardcore techno stuff. I know how to play one song after another and songs people like.
Yeah.
And I think if you can do that and people are having a good time, then you can DJ.
Absolutely.
It's fine. So did you do that?
I did.
See?
Did. I have done. So I do. I enjoy doing like a warm up set. So I like. Oh, I can do an hour. I can do an hour before the start. That's fine. I got this.
What's in your warm up set?
I love a lot of like, so I'm a big fan of a lot of like West African music from the 70s.
Oh, yeah?
Like or Brazilian Tropicália.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And a lot of that kind of like spaced out, funky, post disco stuff.
Did
New York.
Like all this stuff because you came from a cold island and you had to
imagine
the warmth of elsewhere?
I discovered my real love of music from a club night in Glasgow called Optimal. Optimal Espacio. So. We used to go every Sunday night for about 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And it finally shut down. They still DJ together, but they don't do the weekly night anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And like such amazing music, they would bring all kinds of incredible artists and people that I'd never heard of in my life, and it would just open up another world every time.
Yeah.
Like similar to, like, I used to listen to John Peel on the radio, and it would be
Yeah.
It would just be like artists where I remember hearing Jeffrey Lewis for the first time.
Who?
Jeffrey Lewis.
Oh, okay.
So he's like a New York kind of punk poet.
Yeah.
And like very tongue in cheek, very funny. And I actually got to book him at Sweet Liberty. And John thought it was a comedy act. And I was like, no, he's just funny. Like, you can be funny and not be a comedy act.
Yeah.
And that was a real, like, I mean, that was like a lifelong ambition for me. I was telling him, I was like, you know, I heard you on the radio like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And I just remember being like, this is the best thing I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, that's
the lyrics are incredible. And just like a good funky little, you know, honky tonk rhythm along to it.
Living in the city where I'm working like a walrus, but man, I don't need your money, man, I'm gonna be an artist. And I'm feeling like I wanna do whatever I feel inside. I put it all on paper and I'll hope that people buy it. And my only minor worry is how to pay the rent, but that won't even matter when I lose my apartment. And I'll really have no worries, I'll be just like a cassette that you've taped up the tabs of to put something new on it. And when I hit record, God only knows what I will be. And if there is no God, then it's a better mystery.
But yeah, I mean, I really love all kinds of music. And so, being in Miami for so long now, I'm like,
oh gosh, you've just absorbed so much tropical, tropical sounds, like island sounds.
I gotta say, I'm not a fan of reggaeton, but.
Well, reggaeton or reggae?
Oh, I love reggae.
Okay.
Love reggae, but reggaeton. Yeah.
Reggaeton.
I just not really got into. Yeah. But I love.
There's a lot more.
I love a lot of older salsa. I need to know more. Like, I love Hector Lavoe and Willie Colon, but like I actually need to expand my knowledge of salsa. I think.
Yeah. Well, you're in a place for it.
Yeah, right.
I mean, if you live in Miami, I would think you would have absorbed a bit of it by now.
For sure. And the only problem is if I go out to salsa clubs, they try and make me dance, and I'm like, no, you're gonna know. I can't do this. I can't. And they're like, no, it's easy. I'm like, no, it's definitely not that easy.
And this is the thing I was talking with someone else about. My family's Colombian,
right?
So everybody dances.
Sure.
Everybody dances, and if you think you can't dance, they don't care. And they want you to dance.
Nice.
But they're not making fun of you.
But
they
that's the thing is, like,
You said you can twerk.
Well, I mean, I have a huge posterior. I think that's just like it helps.
So guess what else that helps with? Salsa dancing.
Oh, really?
Have you seen the good salsa dancers?
Yeah. Well, yes, I have seen a lot of them. To be fair.
The real good ones that you see out on the street dancing in front of like a club or whatever.
Yeah.
They look better when they got a little more to shake. I'm just saying. Because, you know, I was started putting on weight there, and I'm like, finally, I could dance.
Yeah. I mean, I've definitely always been more of a kind of like a silly dancer and dancing in a group at clubs, you know, more than a kind of like, if it starts to get like too one-on-one dancey, I'm like, I'm gonna make this bad, dude. You're so much better than me.
So what's the favorite track that you have to DJ? You must have a couple that you love that, you know, makes you happy and probably makes the crowd.
My favorite dance floor record of all time is Kiss Me Again by Dinosaur. It's,
I don't think I've ever heard that song.
Right, so I think I'll get this right.
Are you
I think it's 1978 in Sire Records. Oh, you know, you don't want to hear me sing falsetto. But it's so it's Arthur Russell.
I'm familiar with Arthur Russell.
Yeah, but it's Arthur Russell in this like very stretched out, I think it's like a 12 and a half minute disco epic with David Byrne on guitar. Like, it is.
Wow.
It's a beautiful thing. It's the most money I've ever spent on a record as well. I don't even want to talk about it. But it's.
We all have our holy grails.
Yeah, I know. It was one of those that was like, look, yes, don't ever tell anyone, but I'm buying this thing. You know, and it's like one of those ones where I don't want to play it that much.
I was going to say, you wouldn't take that with you.
You're just like, sometimes
you're like. Someone bumped the table and scratched it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, it's like special occasions in the house.
Okay, in the house. So that's what you're listening to when you're at home.
Yeah, yeah.
But
sure.
What are you drinking when that's playing?
Oh, goodness gracious.
I mean, you're home, so you might be just drinking a beer at that point.
So I've actually stopped drinking beer at home because I realized I was going home and just filling myself full of empty calories. So what I've decided now is just to buy better stuff and drink less of it.
Yes.
So I drink a lot of Scottish whiskey. I love Glenfiddich Solera at home.
Cool. That's very nice.
It's one of my favorites for kind of
That makes me happy because you're Scottish and everything, so I feel like you know more than I do.
Well, it's amazing how that happens. You start telling people about whiskey and they're like, what do you know? And the second they're like, oh, you're Scottish. oh, so right, and suddenly your opinion, you know, your everything. Opinion is everything. It's like, but how did that change? You know,
I would assume just because of what you do for a living.
Well, that's the thing, is like a minute ago I was the guy telling you I'm a professional bartender and I know what I'm talking about.
I know.
And you didn't trust me, but the accent and where I'm from suddenly dictates that
it
yes.
It gives you a tiny bit more.
Right, a more credibility.
You're a little more because you understand, you breathe that air.
Well, that's, yeah, I mean, I start using my Bayesian accent when I talk about rum and I start, you know, it's like.
Well, I joke around that I started drinking tequila because I grew up near the Mexican border,
right,
Tijuana,
okay.
When I was about 15 or 16. And I'm just like, trust me, I've been drinking tequila for a very long time. I know yeah. what I'm talking about when it comes to tequila in this house. Right. Like, we were drinking Bacanora before it was legal in this country.
Right, okay.
You just drive it across.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of like, same set kind of thing, but I don't have that Spanish accent. But as soon as I say I used to drink a Tijuana when I was a teenager, then I usually get that little
yeah,
extra.
Yeah, like, oh, okay.
Little extra cred. Okay, yeah. So you're not just bullshitting me.
For like, sure. No.
And I can say when someone drinking it, I'm like, when you go to Mexico a lot and you go down, you understand the flavors.
Absolutely.
A bit more. You know, it's just understanding that not just the terroir, but just the culture and everything.
For sure. But I think tequila and mezcal are the most similar liquor categories to scotch because of the history, the culture, you know, the fact that these
the
are like generations on. Mm-hmm. The, yeah, I mean, there's even that smoky thing
with
between the mezcal and the scotch.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, it's why I'm quite defensive about tequila and mezcal mm-hmm. as much as I am about Scottish whiskey.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that, like, so this new fad of like celebrities being like, I read about one recently and it almost made me throw up in my mouth about like this, like it had to be the best. So we were out scouring the hills of Oaxaca, finding something no one had ever seen before, and we created the world's greatest mezcal. And you're like, yeah, but did you though? Or has a family been making that for five generations?
I was just about to say.
And should the story not start? Oh, well, we've met this guy who makes amazing mezcal.
Right.
Check out this family; they're great. Not, I'm dead famous and I know nothing. Right, I know nothing about mezcal, but you know, I'll put my name on it. It's just a bizarre thing.
Well, like, have you had Yola mezcal?
Which?
Yola.
Yola.
So Yola mezcal is actually a really lovely mezcal. It's owned by three women, but one of the women is from a village in Mexico, where it's been made for generations, and she left the village but teamed up with a musician named Leaky Lee, and they Leaky Lee. So yeah. Leaky Lee owes
one owner. But I know.
Yes. Oh, you know her? Yes, she's great.
Yeah, yeah.
She's really sweet. Her music's fun.
We went to Eton together.
I know. No. Yeah. So these two women that. The woman from the village who'd gone out and gotten an education and done, you know, she was like, I'm going to make myself, and what I'm going to do is bring people back to my village so they can know that this mezcal is amazing. And this company founded to do exactly what you said they should do. They're like, this village has been creating this mezcal. It's all women who create this mezcal. The women have been running it for generations. So the money they make goes back into that village
to
educate the children. They've built schools. They're doing all that kind of stuff. See?
And that's the way
so
to
that's
do it.
The way you should
that
do it.
Is perfect.
Exactly.
Like,
totally great.
I mean, it's just.
I'll send you a note of what it is later,
yeah,
so you can try it out.
Please do.
Because I think it's lovely. So, music again. I want to hear what you DJ. We heard what you listen to at home. What do you DJ that gets people off the floor?
Oh goodness, out in the bar. So.
Well, actually, it doesn't have to get people off the floor if you're playing the warm-up set, but you have to get them kind of starting to move.
Absolutely.
You
know, I mean, I love a lot of like Bo Diddley and like old blues and things as well. That kind of like call and response.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's definitely something to get.
And
people
I think that's a good thing to get people just like, you know, the foot tapping before the dancing, when it's just like, oh yeah, what's this?
Definitely.
You know, when the phones come out, you see people pointing their phones towards the speaker.
Yes.
You're doing good. Right, because they don't know what it is, but they want to find out, and you're this is it, mission accomplished.
The feeling I think is. They only notice the music if it's really bad or really good.
I agree.
Right?
I agree.
So you hope that they're kind of not paying attention because it means they're not being bothered. They're enjoying themselves. The overall atmosphere is good.
Yeah.
But you're right. If they're pointing their phone up, they're just like, cool. Yeah. You're going to buy that.
I remember, oh God, what was it with... No, it's gone for me.
So it was going to be a song. It was going to be a song that somebody responded well to.
No, but I'm just thinking,
to.
Oh, so it's 1977, right? 1970.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love that song.
And it's one of those
and
ones
it's a show.
Yes, right? Yes. And whenever you play that anywhere, everybody is like, what is that song?
Right? It's true.
Right? And it's just got such a nice vibe to it. And it's a
Don't
little...
hate me for texting right now. I'm telling someone I'm late.
No, please.
No, there's another song that's like that. It is Bomba Estéreo.
Okay.
The Fuego.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they just go, Fuego. Dun, 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 Fuego. And everybody just goes, what is it? And they can all say Fuego.
I don't know, but I know the words.
The rest of it's Fuego. Spanish. And they go, Fuego. Fuego. And it's like, oh, I know a Spanish song. Woo! You know? But I mean, great.
I love those songs where Spanish I start song. Singing along and I'm like, oh, wait, I don't know the words to this at
all. Yeah, totally.
I was so confident coming in there and I've got no idea.
And you know, why can't this be like karaoke and you've got the screens in front of me and I can just read along to that.
I love that. I've been using that SoundHound app.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And it's like, it comes up with the lyrics for the song, so you can actually just like...
You can kind of
sing along
that.
Karaoke.
So when, well...
Because it scrolls through.
I've seen people at karaoke and they've had a little bit to drink and they're not quite focused on that screen. And the words are there for them and they're kind of going... And then, you know.
I love a good fade out. And then, yes, please.
All right, yeah. So that's so fun, so fun. So yeah. Currently you're part of the music program at Sweet Liberty.
Yeah, well, I mean,
we
have a good roster of DJs and we have, so.
But you have the music that's playing.
I tell all the staff, if you want to make a playlist, you know what we play here. If you want to make a playlist, put it up on Spotify, tell us what it is, and we'll play it through. Because my thing is, until you've listened to your playlist like two or three times through.
Yeah.
And been like, right, okay, this works. Yeah, no, yeah. Let's get rid of that. Let's do this. I mean, even me, when I make playlists, I'm like, yeah, convinced this is good. And then I'm like, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
No, that doesn't work at all. You know, because it's in that moment, you're like, yeah, no, I'm really into this. But like, you play it out and you're like, gets a bit dull after a while.
So you're just keeping the happiness going. It's
yeah, for sure. I mean, we're at heart, we're an American bar, right? So we do a lot of...
You're an American bar in one of the most international cities in the world.
For sure.
I mean...
But like, we do so
none
happy...
None of my Lyft drivers speak English whenever I go there.
Right.
Suddenly what Spanish I think I don't know comes back to me in the car.
Yeah,
and then they get all like excited that I'm speaking Spanish because they didn't know if I did.
Yeah.
And then they go too far and I'm like, I'm this much... You know,
see,
I would
think you've got like dark hair and you've got the look. I think they would,
totally,
they would
right?
people just start talking Spanish to you when you get
there.
Some,
yeah, generally they do. Yeah, and I'm half Spanish, or you know,
right.
But I didn't learn it as a kid.
Sure.
But when you're immersed in it, I mean, how long have you lived in Miami now?
God, you're gonna embarrass me now, right? So I've been there almost 11 years, and
okay.
I speak comedy Spanish. So,
but you know what?
But
you've lived there, so I wasn't about to say, you obviously know it, or you know kitchen Spanish,
no,
whatever.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the thing. A lot of people say kitchen Spanish, and I'm like, oh, one that doesn't actually sound that nice when you say that.
Mm-hmm,
but
I know.
And I know it's kind of like, it gets the point across, but it just doesn't sound that great.
Yeah.
But I speak Spanish in a way where it's kind of like, I deliberately mess up the words sometimes because I'm like, it's bad anyway, let's go with it.
Right.
And it's like, as long as you're entertained by my terrible Spanish...
Yes.
That's
fine.
Like, I picked up very quickly that when people say gracias, I'm like, instead of saying de nada, I always say de nalgas, which basically means, it just means butt cheeks.
Yeah.
So it's like, and then people are like, wait, what did you just say? You know, so it's just one of those, it's like a fun throwaway line that I get away with because I'm awkward
because
and I don't
speak
Spanish.
Because you're obviously not speaking Spanish.
Yes.
Yeah, but you've absorbed some of it just by being there.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no way
I mean,
to
I can get my
that.
Point across.
Yes.
And I know when people are talking about me and that's what's important.
Right? It's true. No, I absolutely agree with you. It's fun when you can tell they're talking about you and you can turn around and say something, like one word.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
just make it sound like you're fluent so they're like, oh, all right,
oh,
stop,
oops,
stop
we
that.
Got found out. Yeah. That's why I know most of the Spanish I do know is because my parents use it as the secret language when we were
kids. Okay, yeah, there's a lot of that.
And, you know, my mom said, you didn't want to learn Spanish when you were little. And I'm like, then why was my first word gato?
Yeah.
Right. I was obviously paying attention to something, you know.
I mean, I'm amazed by how quickly kids pick these things up. You know, if you put them in an environment where they're going to speak... Like, my nephew 7 years old, and when he was, I think, 3 or 4, mm-hmm. like, he was speaking pretty solid Spanish.
Wow.
You know, like, and I was so impressed with it because he had a teacher at school who was going, oh, let's do it in Spanish now. You know, and he was, like, reeling it off and telling me, and I'm like, I don't know. What is it? I don't know.
That's awesome.
But they just absorb everything, right?
Yeah, right.
So it's just, I think it's more about the environment and what you're exposed to and what, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm super glad that we got to talk today because I love Sweet Liberty and I just love the family that it has built. You know,
well, I think John's superpower was
finding
people.
Getting
like,
good people together.
The teams that he's put together over the years have been amazing.
Have stuck together
like,
and everything.
I mean, the Florida Room team, going strong after all these years, still is like is the best of friends, like all of them, you know. And I mean, some of them still work with us.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really fabulous.
I know he's introduced people who have gotten married.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, he's with matchmakers, all this stuff, but you guys are there and you're keeping the legacy alive, you know.
For sure.
So you get to keep doing that. And you must be so stoked to be
able
we're
all just trying to live up to it, you know, which is, it's hard. It's been, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you, it's been a rough year.
Yeah, I'm
you know,
like,
of like, because you start...
I knew this was the one that was going to make me emotional when I was going to talk with you, even for just a moment. But this is just, it's a very special one.
For sure.
So I thank you and the whole team for carrying on that legacy, making it feel like family, keeping that community alive. Just kicks ass. And anybody and everybody should make sure that they go to Sweet Liberty.
Absolutely. Everybody should go to Sweet Liberty. Everyone should go to Sweet Liberty. even if you don't live anywhere near, you know, it's worth the flight.
Yeah, totally. I'm getting married and we already are planning. I'm like, we're going to stop in Miami, you know, do a little trek there for a couple of days. And then we'll continue on to whatever tropical island we're going to.
Fantastic.
I'm like, we're definitely going there because...
When's the wedding?
September.
Oh,
fantastic. Coming up.
You feel ready? I mean, I don't know how ready you can feel, but...
Yeah, I'm always ready for everything.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, this is nothing.
You're all like...
My fiance, like, we planned it in like 6 weeks, and then we just sat back. The only issues that we're having are people aren't sending their RSVPs
in time.
Nice. And that's me going like...
You're like all dresses, catering, everything's done.
Yeah, I'm that kind of person. It's all done. Everything's easy. Yeah. Because you know what? I own a bar as well.
Right,
so,
okay.
You know, I'm into this. You know, created my own family, community, and various things I do and work in the music industry. So you understand that sense of just bringing people together, and I know how to throw a party.
No, for sure.
And you know, you're at Sweet Liberty, which is like always a party.
Yeah.
That place is always a party.
Well, that's what we're trying to do, is to say we don't take ourselves particularly seriously. Mm-hmm. It's all about having fun.
Yeah.
And like, as long as people are smiling and having a good time, like, I am delighted with what's going on.
Awesome.
You know?
All right, well, tell people how they can find you. And the social media and all those things. It doesn't necessarily have to be you. It can be the bar.
Yes. So that. the bar, the website for the bar is mysweetliberty.com. Mm-hmm. Mostly social media is.
You gotta look.
I think it's at mysweetliberty as well. Wait, let me see. I'm so bad with social media. That's one of my issues.
So I mean, they're Sweet Liberty on Instagram. I know that, but if someone went to the website, they would see the.
They'll see all the links on there, and we now have online merch store, which I think is working. it's been a long struggle. We've been trying to do that for about a year, because the jackets, like the Miami is the Ship Row jackets, mm-hmm. are like we can't get them in fast enough. So like we're trying to put it all together on the online store. So there's that, and there's all the hats, there's gift cards and stuff online. You can see the menus, you can see a schedule, you can sign up for an email blast.
All of the above.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know,
absolutely.
Keep an eye out because this bar was, not last year, but the year before, like the best American bar.
Well, so last year, we've been so fortunate with how well people have embraced it. Like last year, we won Best American Bar Team and Best International Spirit Selection Best World Spirit Selection.
Yeah.
The year before, Best High Volume Bar, and the year before that was Best New Bar.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, are you guys are nominated for something again this year? No.
We're not.
Oh, you can't.
No, we're not.
You actually have to take a breather.
We're not. So I said to someone the other day, I was like, we're not allowed because we've won.
Because you've won too much.
And he was like, you shouldn't say that. And I was like, I know, but it sounded bad when it came out of my mouth, but it's like, that's what happened.
It's true.
I know.
You've won yourself out of all
and
the
it's
categories.
Great. So Dan is giving away the award tonight for Best American Bar Team.
Fantastic.
And we've got really good friends who are nominated. Mm-hmm. So we want Massa from Katana Kitten to do well.
Oh.
And we want Julio from La Trova to do well.
Also wonderful.
We love them both. They're both magical places. Like, really, like, I tell people all the time, if you want to feel terrible about your hospitality skills, go and hang out with Massa for an hour at Katana Kitten.
Yeah, because
he is
New
just
York.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
he did a pop-up for John Lemire Day, as did Julio. Who again is just like, that bar is magical. It feels like you walked into Cuba when you walk in. And then right at the back,
yet.
It's the 305 80s bar. Is like you just walked onto the set of Scarface somehow.
Yeah,
you know, it's amazing.
Again, I did mention I'm Colombian, right?
Yeah.
I'm already for you there. Okay. All right, well, on that note, thank you so
okay.
much, Frazier.
No,
I really
thank
appreciate
you.
It. We're shaking, but we're going to hug in a moment. You're okay. just not going to hear that on the tape. Thank you.
Don't let it decide, baby, diamond ring. If that diamond ring don't shine, he gonna take it to a private eye. If that private eye can't see, he better not take the ring from me.
A big, big thank you to Frazier for bringing the sunniness of Miami to the podcast and the sunniness of Frazier to the podcast. He created a huge playlist for us, about 90 tracks or so. And if you want to hear it, then head over to the Facebook page. I've left a link to it there so that you can take a listen yourself. And what else? Yeah, just thank you. And if you get to Miami, make sure you get a Sweet Liberty. It is well worth the visit. And ask for Frazier. I'm sure he'd be happy to whip something up for you. Maybe even something with scotch. I'm going to go with Mezcal, though, the next time I see him. Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by Barkeeper, a head shop for cocktail lovers, located at 614 North Hoover Street in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Stop by for barware, vintage glassware, a carefully curated collection of spirits, and one of the most impressive selections of bitters anywhere. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook for information regarding spirits tastings. That's barkeepersilverlake.com. And also in the Virgil Village neighborhood of Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Thank you for tuning in to our barroom chats on Music and Booze with Mo. For more info about today's guest, or if you want to connect with me, check out my Facebook page, Mo Herms. Please subscribe to the podcast and feel free to tell all your friends about it. While you're there, give the show a rating and a review. It really helps to get the word out. If you want to hear the playlists our guests have curated, search SheBMO on Spotify, SheBMO. Find pictures of the interviewees and the cool stuff they create on the Music and Booze with Mo Instagram account. Lower your expectations and join us at the bar. Till next time, cheers.